with the Business Bunker.
Welcome to the Business Bunker Show on KentBusinessRadio.co.uk and ChannelRadio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 11th of October, with me, Paul Andrews, and the famous Joe Dodds.
Hello, how are you?
I'm well, thanks. How are you?
Oh, my voice is a bit dodgy. Yeah. It's not quite the sexy version that I was hoping for.
You're working. It's a work in progress,
yeah,
is it?
Yeah, I'll keep working on it as a show.
So you've got
on.
Your eyes sorted out, and we're going to be talking about that later, but now you've got to get your voice sorted out.
But I must be out of... I can't be out of practice. I did a show on Friday. I sat there thinking, why is it really quiet? And I thought, I haven't got my headphones on. Think Joe. I'd know what to do by now, wouldn't you? I was thinking, I can't hear the music or anything.
She's only been... We've been doing this show 9 years.
Yeah.
And you've been involved in almost all of that at some point.
Mm, I know.
And you still can't work out how to put the headphones on.
I'm
and
ill,
how to...
Paul.
Oh,
I'm ill.
Oh, I see. She's not well, listener. She's not well. Cool. Hey, listen, but we want to hear from you. The business is out there in Southeast England and further afield these days, and you can get in touch with us in all the normal ways. You can, in fact, call us on 01233, that's Ashford, 01233, 220035, 01233, 220035. Or you can email me at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. But by far and away, the easiest way to interact with us live on air is to tweet me. And if you tweet me at VanillaWeb and you use the hashtag BBunker, we would love to hear from you. And I can tell you, Joe, because I've counted them, we have 93,876,432.6 tweets so far.
Yeah, but you see, I know that you're lying because I didn't see you tweet. You've been counting them. We've been talking all the way up to the show starting. So that's how I know.
I wondered how you were finding that out.
Yeah.
That threw me all the time.
Exactly, yeah.
Anyway, we'd love to hear from you. Do tweet us. We've got an absolutely packed show today. We've got some fantastic guests in the studio. We've got a guest joining us on a telephone. We've got some pre-recorded interviews from the Southeast Construction Expo. But I'd first of all like to kick off by saying a massive, massive thank you to today's show sponsors. And today's show sponsors are the Donington Manor Hotel at Riverhead near Sevenoaks, and the Donington Manor Hotel is Sevenoaks' only 4-star hotel, and they're doing some special Christmas party packages for local businesses. So if you're a local business and you're looking for either a shared Christmas party or a bespoke party for just you and your employees, if you get in touch with the team at the Donington Manor Hotel, they have some special offers running that also include DJ, party photo booth, all kinds of things that you can do. The DJ's not me, by the way, so just to put you at ease there.
If you want to book myself and my staff onto it, then that'll just be me then.
Yeah, absolutely. If you want to find out more about Donington Manor and their Christmas packages that are on offer, there's a number of ways you can do that. You can call them on Sevenoaks, 01732 46281, or you can email them at mail@donningtonmanor.com. Or you can go to their website, and they've got a microsite just for this, which is Christmas Parties at Donington Manor. ChristmasPartiesAtDonningtonManor.co.uk. Check them out. And thank you so much, Donington Manor, for sponsoring this week's Business Bunker Show. Cool. I'll tell you what, Joe, do you want to go with a tweet or a email?
Yeah, can I just read this tweet out from Mechanic_Social?
Mm-hmm.
Who it says her name, I think it's her, is Social Mechanic. As I say, I think it's a she. I need to look at the picture. Yes, it's a she. I think I know who that is now. It's just a social media marketing specialising in automotive brands. Oh, it's Kelly, yes. Car sales and garages. It is Kelly. But isn't that interesting? Over the years, we've been saying, you know, you need to specialise and be the expert in a certain area. And here's a social media person not saying, I'll just do social media for anybody, but actually saying that she'll do it for very specialist types of businesses. I think that's really cool. So, hi, Kelly. Now I've realised it's you. I've seen the picture and seen your name on it.
Talking about social media experts, I suppose we ought to wish a massive, massive happy birthday to Zoe Cairns today. Happy birthday,
Zoe. Is it today?
Well, you see, that was interesting because I thought it was yesterday as well. But according to my Facebook, it's today. So she might be
one of those ones who has a long birthday.
Well, she could be a bit like the Queen, couldn't she? Do you think Zoe's a bit like the Queen? So she has a birthday and then an official birthday.
If you're doing that, you wouldn't have them next door to each other, would you?
Yeah.
She just must just spread it out generally, so it takes longer to happen. So
absolutely.
Yeah, no, I thought it was yesterday because it was all going on yesterday on Facebook. But anyway, happy birthday, Zoe, whether it was yesterday or today. Or tomorrow, indeed.
Or indeed, any time at all. Whenever your birthday is, Zoe, enjoy it and have a fabulous birthday. I'm busily trying to scroll through my phone and find a tweet that I promised to read out, and it's buried in millions of other tweets, and it's really important that I read this out because I promised. So I'll tell you what, Joe, if you could do something else, read something, an email or something
yeah,
while
about,
I'm looking for
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I'll read about Digital in Kent at the Great Danes in Maidstone. It was born in 2012 when a group of leading local agencies and consultants came together to pool their experience and create a learning event for Kent businesses. It says they felt that many were struggling to get to grips with social media, SEO and PPC for the first time and were finding it hard to keep up with the latest developments. So since then, they've showcased a multitude of speakers, including leading regional practitioners and carefully selected experts from across the UK. And the next one is on the 20th of October, which is a week on Thursday, at the Mercury and Maidstone Great Danes. You can go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/digital-kent.
Cool. I've had a tweet from the lovely Denise Wilton.
Denise, you see, you're very
Denise.
Good at that now.
Denise. I've got it now. Denise.
You have.
Denise had to change her Twitter handle so that I could pronounce her name properly.
Like you do.
Life's
that important.
Like you do.
To get Paul to say your name properly.
Denise has requested a Business Bunker shout out for her new headshot photograph. Okay. So she's had a new headshot photograph done. It looks absolutely fabulous. It is a really.
You said it was. Was it softer and.
Softer and warmer.
Something warmer. That was warmer.
I was being
it.
Mellow. It was, so she looks softer and warmer and more human and more lovely, if that's possible. That's not saying she looked horrible before.
It's always difficult when you do that, when you go, yeah. Your hair looks much better now. Yeah. Oh, well, you look so wasn't very nice.
And they go,
before,
so what was wrong with it before?
Exactly. Yeah.
No, but this headshot photo is absolutely fabulous.
It
really is a good job. And she's really not giving a shout out for her own head. She's not being narcissistic here. She's giving us a shout out really for the lady that took the photos, right?
Yeah.
And the Twitter handle for the lady what took the photos is So Light Photo, SOHLIGHTPHOTO, So Light Photos. That's her Twitter handle, and it's Manjit Sohal is the lady who took it. They're absolutely fabulous photographs. It really has made an enormous difference. Really good headshot photographs. So do follow those two ladies, Denise Wilton. Denise is now spelt D-E-N-E-E-Z Wilton.
Just for Paul.
Or So, S-O-H, Light Photo, So Light Photo. Do follow those, please. Fantastic. Good, Joe.
Lovely. Okay, so Twig Group were well received at the Construction Expo. So Twig Group, a Kent-based company offering ecological contracting, grounds maintenance and solar farm maintenance services, hosted a panel discussion on avoiding unnecessary ecological pitfalls at the Construction Expo, which was on the 6th of October at the Kent Event Centre in Detling. You can go to their website to find out more about the Twig Group. That's twiggroup.co.uk. That is quite a cool company name, don't you think?
Twig, yeah.
It is, isn't it?
It's really cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
They're a very interesting company. We've got an interview with them next week, actually, that we recorded at the construction show, because they're ecological landscapers. And you'll hear all about it when we spoke to Managing Director David Eyre last week. So, do look forward to that.
Yeah, lovely.
We've had a tweet from Holcombe Health Clinic. And they say, hi, Vanilla Webb, hi, Business Bunker. Please may we have a shout out for our physiotherapy, sports therapy, reflexology and nutrition clinic in Rochester. You have just been shouted out. I noticed that they put in Rochester now, and that's my fault. Well, because last week I said they were in Gillingham. So now they've put me right. They're in Rochester. So Holcombe Health Clinic, give them a follow. Their Twitter handle is Holcombe, H-O-L-C-O-M-B-E. Holcombe Health is their Twitter handle.
Lovely. And I've got one from Cascade Julie, Kent's insurance specialist, for hashtag HNW, high value. What does HNW mean?
Sorry, say again?
Hashtag HNW, and in brackets it says high
value. High net worth.
High net worth.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Rich people.
I was thinking it was of a thing. Yeah. High net worth, commercial insurance, startup or SME insurance. So she says she's looking forward to the show with you and me today.
Oh, fantastic. Well, while we're doing this self-congratulation stuff, Innovation Washrooms has just tweeted me. Innovation Washrooms are listening to the show, and he says, this is Dean, please wish my nan a happy 90th birthday for tomorrow. Her name is Irene Amos, and she is actually listening to the show, waiting for my interview to come on.
Oh, hi, Hi, Irene. My nan was called Irene as well.
Was she?
Yeah.
Oh, hi, Irene. Thanks for joining us. Yeah. And happy 90th for tomorrow.
We're on our best behaviour now, Paul.
Yeah.
Now we know we're being listened to by grandmother royalty type people.
Exactly. You know, we have exactly. To sort of someone with gravitas.
Exactly. Yeah. Otherwise, we might get told off. Do you think she's on Twitter? Do you think she might tweet some notes to us?
She might do. She might do. So happy birthday, Irene.
Irene. Are you on Twitter? Yeah.
Happy birthday. And talking about that, I think it's probably time where we're going to play some pre-recorded interviews, one of them being Dean from Washroom Innovations. Last week I attended with a pop-up radio studio the Construction Southeast Expo at the Kent Event Centre at the County Showground, and I met some people while I was there and we did some interviews. Shall we have a little listen?
For Irene.
Yeah. It's been a really interesting morning here so far at the Construction and Southeast Expo, and I've just bumped into a rather interesting young lady. Hello there.
Good morning.
Hello, who are we talking to here?
I'm Melanie Baker. I'm the recruitment and sales executive for Mainstream Staff Supplies.
Hello, Melanie, you say?
Melanie, yes.
Melanie. Hello, Melanie. Welcome. You've got a big stand here with a very special sports car on it.
Yes, we've got the McLaren 560 on our stall.
Blimey, it's all right for summer. Is that your motor?
That's mine, yeah.
You arrived in that this morning and they said, I'll put it on the stand, Melanie.
Yeah, company car.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm hoping to win that in the prize draw.
Not in the prize draw.
Oh, is it not?
No, okay. No, it's not.
I'll tell you what then. So tell us, what do Mainstream do?
Mainstream are recruitment and training specialists. We are in Sittingbourne.
Right.
We work with the MOD all around the country, national.
Right.
We're working with the prison service, doing all their training.
Okay.
Behind the training comes the recruitment out to our sales, out to our clients.
So fabulous. So you've got a kind of virtuous circle there. You're giving people skills and then finding that once they're trained, you're finding them work to do.
We're placing them to work, yeah.
Cool. Yep. And what kind of skills training do you do? Do you specialise in any particular areas?
We specialise with our recruitment agency, which is our LGVs, which obviously this country's got a shortage at the
it's
moment.
Massive. As you probably know, I own Jobs in Kent, a recruitment portal, and drivers are one of the hardest things ever to get at the moment.
That's right, yeah, it is, yeah, very much so.
So you do LGV, do you do passenger vehicles as well, the PCVs?
We do PCVs, we do coaches, we've just got our own fleet of vehicles, which we're advertising our business.
McLaren's, obviously.
Just the one, yeah.
Just
the one for today. Forklift training, Moffitt training, scissor lifts. So any training, our business will adapt to any client's needs.
Okay, and that's brilliant, because all those things you've identified are in really short demand as far as skilled people are concerned.
Very much, and so is the construction, which is why we're very, very big on the construction industry at the moment as well. That's
really brilliant, absolutely, and all power to you. It's the kind of thing we need in this country, because that kind of skills training has been kind of put to one side in the past, where the government are trying to send everybody to university instead.
Yes, that's right, and the skills are mainly hands-on. It's vocational. We've got to get people skilled up, the ones that haven't got the education, and it's hands-on, and when you show them the big plants, they like the big plants, the big machinery to drive on, and with the housing shortage as well, and the way the businesses are going up at the moment, so...
Absolutely, couldn't agree more. That's fabulous stuff. You're doing a fabulous job. If people want to find out more about you, have you got a website or anything like that?
We have got a website, Mainstream website, and we've also got Facebook and Twitter.
Cool. Give us a shout-out for your website, and if you know them off the top of your head, Twitter and Facebook... your website. Oh, there it is.
There
you go. www.recruitandtrain.com. So www.recruitandtrain.com. That's brilliant. Okay. And I'll try and see if you've got Twitter on there. No, yeah, I'll find your Twitter account and we'll put that out later. So recruitandtrain.com is your website. Do check it out if you're interested at all in training. I've just bumped into the lovely Jillie Monk. Hello, Jillie. I haven't seen you for ages. How are you?
I am great, Paul. Thank you. And it's lovely to see you here as well.
Absolutely. Jillie, you're from All Health Matters. And you came on the Business Bunker show in the early days when we started, a couple of years ago now.
Oh, yes, it was. I don't think my business was very old at that time. We started in 2010. It's 2016 now. I can't remember when the business banker started.
Yeah, no, we've been going quite a long time as well. So you must have been one of the first people on.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
And I've still got my mouse mat.
Have you really? You've got a bunker mouse mat still?
Got a bunker mouse mat. It'll be on Antiques Roadshow one day.
Absolutely, it will. So tell the listeners that don't remember what All Health Matters do.
All Health Matters is all about occupational health for companies. So our clients are companies. That's all sorts of companies, from offices to construction industry, engineering, manufacturing. Doesn't matter what business you're in, if you employ more than five people, it's likely that at some time or other you'll need the help of an occupational health provider.
Okay, and what kind of services do you actually deliver?
Everything's connected to the working population, that is pre-employment screening through to ill health, retirement, everything in between, that is sickness absence management, health checks, particularly in this day and age of construction sites requiring fitness for work medicals. We do those sorts of medicals, drug and alcohol testing. We do everything that you can think of to keep
blood pressure and all that kind of stuff.
Blood pressure, hearing tests, vision checking.
You up?
Pardon?
Yeah. The old ones,
We do all of that, and we do a lot of health promotion activities as well.
Fantastic. And your business has just grown and grown and grown, hasn't it?
Yeah. 2010, we're just 6 years old, and from a garden shed in Folkestone, we moved to Canterbury, and we've now got four clinics and 20 salaried staff, including two doctors, which is quite a step for us. We've taken a few risks, but they were calculated, and fortunately, they paid off.
I mean, that's entrepreneurship all over, isn't it? You have to take some calculated risks, and you've kind of now moved into a new phase.
A new risk. Yeah. Yes, we've just invested in a mobile screening unit, health screening unit. Because there's such a demand, particularly for construction sites, for us to go to them and have a proper facility to be able to conduct the medicals on site. Yeah. Reduces downtime. After all, you know, time is money when you're on a project, and it's so vital that they keep their staff in tip-top condition and that they're following all the rules. So we can now take the van to them. We can do hearing tests, we can do vision tests, skin tests, lung function testing, even their vaccinations from our new mobile screening unit.
Absolutely, and I guess it makes life a lot easier, because if you go to them, they can't avoid it, they can't get lost on the way or not turn up or whatever.
Absolutely, employers love it because it reduces the downtime and they are in total control. They can say, oh, off you go mate, it's your turn next, and back on the tools as soon as you're done, rather than losing them potentially for extended periods of time.
Absolutely, but as you say, you know, it's a big risk for you, it's a lot of investment for you to do this, and all power to you for doing it, and I'm sure it's going to be a massive success, but I guess it's twitchy bottom time, as Alex Ferguson was saying.
I'm not doing my own blood pressure at the moment because I think it might seriously be high, and I've certainly lost all my nails. But unless you take risks in business, then you'll never go anywhere. You'll never make an omelette unless you crack a few eggs, and so I've cracked a few, and so far it's all paid off. We just hope that this is going to.
Absolutely, I'm sure it will. You've got a fantastic track record already, and we all know that we need this, so that's great. So give us a shout for your website.
www.allhealthmatters.co.uk.
Fantastic.
We're approaching the halfway stage here at the Southeast Construction Expo at the Kent Event Centre at Maidstone, and I've just bumped into this young man. Hello, who are you?
Hello, I'm Dean Ford from Innovation Washrooms. I'm the Managing Director.
Hello, Dean. Nice to meet you. Innovation Washrooms, tell me a bit about that.
Well, we're a new start-up company. We started...
Oh, we like start-up companies. How long have you been going?
About 2 months now.
Oh, real new start-up.
We're really new, yeah. I've been in the industry for about 10 years and decided to start my own company.
So you know what you're doing?
I'd like to think so.
Yeah, of course you do. So you know what you're doing, and you just launched your own business. We love that on the Business Funk Show. We love new businesses. Where are you based?
Based in Whitstable.
Okay, know it well.
So tell us a bit about what Innovation Washrooms do.
So we're a full design, supply, manufacture, consultancy company, and we deal with everything to do with commercial washrooms. So we will come to your business premises, we'll design the washrooms for you, we'll quote for the fitting work, and we can even then supply all the accessories that go with it from our online shop.
Wow, so everything basically.
We've tried to cover every facet of everything that is commercial washrooms.
I nearly said something about covering commercial washrooms there, but I thought that would be a really bad taste joke.
Yeah, don't blame me.
Yeah. I bet you hear some jokes as well.
Yeah, the conversation can sometimes turn a bit toilet.
Yeah, I can imagine. Cool. That's a really fascinating thing that you do. You know, I own a place in Canterbury that is an open space to the public, and one of the things we're looking at doing is looking at our washroom facilities. And we have things, you know, nowadays everybody's more concerned with disabled toilets and disabled access and all that kind of stuff as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's a major consideration whenever you're doing your commercial washrooms is to cater for not only disabled people, but people who may come in with large bags, people with children. And one of the big things that I notice when I use commercial washrooms and toilets is the fact that a lot of the men's toilets, as a father, don't have baby change facilities.
Absolutely.
That's something to factor in.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And it's something that you need to talk about more and more and more, yeah?
It is, yeah. I mean, it's all about awareness of what the modern day requirements are in toilets.
Do you supply things like hand drying equipment and stuff like that as well?
Yeah, we've got an online shop which is shop.innovationwashrooms.co.uk, and on that site you can buy everything from a spare strap on a nappy change unit, all the way up through to Dyson hand dryers,
those blade things.
Yeah, and we've got lots of different variations of the hands in dryers, so not just Dysons. We've got ones called a 3G. We've got Veltia hand dryers who are coming onto the market in quite a strong way at the moment.
Yeah, because you can't dry your hair in those hand dry ones, those Dyson ones, can you?
Well, I don't think that's necessarily going to be a major problem for you, Paul.
I'm glad you spotted that, Dean.
Yeah, no, you can't dry your hair with them, but there are hand dryers that we offer which have an attachment, so you can dry your hair if needed.
Really? Really? I was trying to be facetious there. But, okay, that's fascinating. It's an interesting thing. When you specialise in something like it's something that all of us use, all of us need, and toilets are one of those things that drive the British mad, because we don't have many public facilities around and about for things like that. And where they do exist, they're normally graffiti-riddled things. So putting washrooms in commercial spaces is a really interesting niche area.
It is, and I think it's, you know, it's fairly criminal the way that our public toilet spaces are just going these days. There are a couple of companies that are actually looking to do them as new ventures, and actually opening up public toilets, charging people to go into them, and therefore giving a public service.
Yeah, and why not? Great. Look, Dean, we wish you much success. I'm sure you're going to be successful because you know what you're doing. You've been in this industry a long time. But we wish you much success with Innovation Washrooms. Give us a shout out for your Twitter handle, website and stuff like that.
Yeah, so the website is innovationwashrooms.co.uk. The online shop is shop.innovationwashrooms.co.uk. Twitter handle is @innovationwash1.
Fantastic. Enjoy
Paul
the rest of your day
with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show. That was some pre-recorded interviews we did at the Southeast Construction Expo last week. I'm now hopefully joined on the phone by Mr. Rob Thomas. Hello, Rob, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, no problem.
Fantastic. It's always exciting, this bit, to make sure that you're still there.
We love it when technology works.
Yeah, yeah. It's brilliant when it comes together. Rob, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. It's an absolute pleasure to hear from you today. Rob is from WSOIE e-marketing.
Yes.
I'm getting all tied up over my way. I'm getting so excited about this. and Rob, you're going to be one of the keynote speakers at the Digital in Kent conference in next week, I believe.
It's on the 20th, yes.
Yeah, so we're really looking forward to that and hearing from you. But just for the moment, if you could tell our listeners a bit about Rob and a bit about what you do, that would be really interesting.
Well, if they've gone onto the website, they'll see by my lack of hair that I've been around a long time in sales and marketing, probably for close to 30 years now. And the world has changed considerably in those 30 years. I started business when the internet didn't exist. And not only has the internet changed all our lives, but social media and the way that businesses do business have changed dramatically.
Absolutely. Do you want to know something really funny?
What?
I was the head of electronic banking in a bank before the internet existed. Mm-hmm. If you can imagine such a thing, how
are
Mickey Mouse that was.
Which bank?
Citibank.
Okay. I was Barclays, TSB and Lloyd.
Were you? Okay. Cool. So you and me both were there before the technology.
Yes.
So for us, it's been quite a journey, really, hasn't it?
Well, the technology is part of the driver, but actually it's the human behaviours that have change. You know, when things like eBay came along, for example, and people had the ability to provide feedback on buyers and buyers on sellers, it almost became natural that people look for third-party opinion before making a decision. And, you know, retailers and indeed business-to-business organizations that have woken up to that and manage their own online reputation, they succeed at a level that they couldn't hope to in the past. And that's good for the buyer because it gives them due diligence within a few seconds.
Sure.
And it's great for the seller as well.
Absolutely. I don't know what your thoughts and feelings are on this, but I'm a great one for using social media if a corporate supplier has annoyed me in any way, shape or form and has caused me problems in trying to report a problem with them. I don't tend to hang around on their IVR systems for very long. I go on to Twitter and make my thoughts known there. And that tends to elicit quite a rapid response from most corporations.
Yeah, I would agree 100%. They won't like us for saying that, but actually, you know, sending a letter to the chairman in pigeon post, as we used to, used to be the best way of getting a response, but now it's likely to disappear, whereas they are using electronic methods to trawl Twitter, not only for people leaving comments, but they actually look for particular words, so, you know, unhappy, fed up, all that type of thing, and those go to the top of the pile, and actually, if you at reference somebody fairly senior, you get even quicker response.
Absolutely. And the interesting thing is, from a business owner's point of view, if someone has a problem with you as a business and they post it on social media, you immediately tend to get loads of people that join in with it. So you're not only dealing with one customer if you're not careful. You're dealing with loads and loads and loads that are all kind of supporting that person.
Well, do you know, that's a good thing. Provided the business is responsive, you know, we all make mistakes, all businesses make mistakes, but it's how people respond to that and how organizations respond to that, work out whether they're a good organization to do business with or a bad one. So the fact that they're monitoring what you're saying is great, and if somebody does have a complaint, if you as a third-party observer can see them deal with it quickly in a professional manner, thank them for raising the concern and rectifying it, actually the brand awareness and the brand loyalty for that company goes up, not down. It's only those companies that aren't listing who ignore all that comment. They're the ones who really suffer, and they deserve to.
I'll finish up on this kind of bit about it. I had a really funny one the other day. I had cause to complain about a certain utilities provider, a fairly large one, and their social media team responded, but they said, oh, can you go to the following website and fill out a load of forms there? And I went, actually, no, do you know what? I'm just going to switch provider. And they came back and they went, oh, okay, fine.
Yeah.
Okay, right, great. Anyway.
They don't deserve your customers.
No, exactly, exactly. Interestingly, Rob, before we came on air, two or three of us were chatting in the green room here about social media, digital engagement, and what the right level of sales ability, if you like, is appropriate. And I'd be interested in your thoughts on that.
Well, there's a few things to say. First of all, we talked about human behaviors before, but often, particularly in the business-to-business world, but also true in business consumer, 75% of the decision as to whether you are going to buy a product or a service is taken without the involvement of a salesperson at all. So people are doing their research online, if you like, they're understanding the awareness of the products or the services out there. They're starting to look at the consideration to weigh up the pros and cons, and whether that's through you know, third-party comparison sites or whether that's just by going through into the company, having a look at their website, and then checking out their reviews, their feedback. So they've pretty much made up their decision whether that company is the one or maybe one of two before they pick the phone up to the salesperson to either close the deal or whatever. So that has changed dramatically. The power is now in the hands of the buyer rather than the seller, because in the old days, you often had to pick up the phone to a salesman to find out about the product and find out about the pricing. So that has changed completely. Now, really switched on salespeople or people with business development responsibility, because sales is sometimes seen as a dirty word, they need to try and engage with those people much earlier on in the sales process, not to sell them something, but to help them through that education process, to put in front of them the business case studies or the comparisons of price, or lead them by the hand to the white papers and the case studies that might lead them to the right decision. So a salesperson has to be pretty astute on how to do that, and obviously in business to business, you're talking LinkedIn as probably the primary vehicle. Sure. If you're talking business consumer, you're talking Twitter and Facebook.
Absolutely. No, I couldn't agree more. Just on that, you especially on LinkedIn, it can be a bit annoying when people ask to follow you and then immediately try and sell you something within 10 minutes of you agreeing to be connected. But it's a whole new way of doing things, really, isn't it?
I don't think the average salesperson on LinkedIn has actually got any idea as to how
what
they should
doing.
Be using it. I do LinkedIn training for some mobile phone type technology companies, and they use it for research. And they use it to mine other people's contact lists. But they actually, when you talk to them about sharing updates and sharing useful content and posting themselves, they just aren't interested. And I think that's what you've just said, Paul, that people come on and they try and connect up with you and then they start bombarding you through the messaging system.
Yeah. I'm afraid, social media, think of it like a knife. You can either butter your bread or stab somebody with it. So unfortunately,
like
a lot of people... who are perhaps haven't been trained, and to be fair, it's not their fault. 93% of all sales executives have not received any formal training on social selling or social media. So people like yourself and hopefully us, our role is just to help, first of all, the decision makers understand that by doing that, they're missing a great opportunity because their salespeople are the public face. Often they are representing the brand. So they need to understand how to use these tools, not to bombard people, not to sell to people, but to empower those people to buy from them when, you know, the need and the opportunity intersects.
But it's interesting, isn't it? It's not really a social media training need, is it? It's a selling in this day and age training need, isn't it? That's the sort of the challenge that a lot of organisations don't realise that, and they go for the wrong thing or with the wrong perspective on it.
Well, in a way, I don't like the word social selling. I didn't coin it, but it's the one that people recognise. I would prefer to call it social buying, because if you do the right things the right way, the person comes to the salesperson to say, I need that product or the service, help me sign up for it or help me buy it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, I think that's the way, as you say, in the old days, you know, spin selling and all of those techniques that were about objection handling. This shouldn't be about objection handling, because most of the potential customers will have done their research. They will have overcome their own objections. They will have worked out which is the right product or service for them. Mm. You know, whether it's a flat screen telly or whether it's consultancy, it's the same process they need to go through. And the salesperson really should just be there to help them through that decision-making process.
Mm. Absolutely. Rob, a fascinating insight into that. We could talk about it forever. Sadly, we're kind of running out of time. But, of course, people can come along and hear you in depth.
What are you actually going to be talking about?
Well, I'm going to be talking. Yeah, that's a good question. I'm going to be talking about two things. I'm going to be talking about what is social selling / social buying, and hopefully just educating to the point where people understand what it is and what the benefits are of looking a bit deeper. Because in a 40-minute session, we can't teach them everything they need to know about social selling. If you're doing LinkedIn training, you know that stuff takes quite a lot of time and effort, but actually pays really good dividends. But I'm also going to be talking about this thing called marketing automation. And again, it's another thing I don't particularly like the word of, because you hear the word automation and you think this is, you know, a method of spamming people without human beings involved. That's not what it means. What it means is joining together both the sales and marketing function, whether you're a small SME and it's embodied in one person, or whether you're a large corporate that might have a couple of departments of 100 people. It's how do you correctly identify those potential customers, where they are in their buying journey, and provide them with the right level of information at the right time. You know, 20 years ago, we used to talk about one-to-one marketing, delivering the right message at the right time. We've been talking about it for 20 years. We haven't had the capability of doing it, but even now, a small SME can, with something like, you know, whether it's Infusionsoft or Marketo or HubSpot, or maybe a new player that's disrupting the marketplace, SharpSpring, those type of tools means that one or two people can be as effective as a team of 10 or 15. So that's really what I'm going to be talking about on the 20th.
Fantastic. We're looking forward to that very much, Rob. You can come along and hear Rob at the Digital in Kent conference, which is taking place at the Great Danes Maidstone McKeown Hotel on Thursday, the 20th of October. Rob, just before you go, give us a shout for your website so that people can find out more about you before they come and listen to you.
Great. Well, hopefully it's quite simple. It's WSI-emarketing.com, and we've got videos, infographics, lots of resources, because we believe in giving away a lot of information for free so that when people need our services, they know where to come.
Fantastic. Thank you for that, Rob. There is a link to Rob's website on the Kent Business Radio homepage, so if you didn't write that down, you can click on it there. And we look forward to meeting you and hearing more from you at the Digital in Kent conference. But for the moment, Rob Thomas of WSI eMarketing, thank you so much.
Thank you. My pleasure. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So, Rob Thomas here.
Oh.
Huh.
That went a bit funny. And I can't hear us now.
Oh. That's gone all weird now, hasn't it?
It has. Don't think we're on.
That's better.
Oh, we're back.
That's better. The phone had to disconnect. It took a bit of while to disconnect.
It's that old technology.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, while Rob was talking about that, it's interesting because we've just seen how technology can damage things quite literally with a flash crash, if you're familiar with that.
No, don't know what it's about.
You probably know that the pound plummeted in value recently. It was actually what's called a flash crash.
Okay.
Most trading is now done by algorithms, and some computer algorithm got it wrong. But as soon as it got it wrong, all the other bots joined in, and before you know it, mm-hmm. it had crashed the pound. Mm-hmm. There was one other incident. If I remember rightly, I think it was about May 2010, when a flash crash caused the Dow Jones index to drop 1,000 points in 5 minutes. And what normally happens is it drops so quickly that human traders realize that it's a malfunction. And some of the Japanese traders, when it happened, were trying to put stops on it. But of course, it had got out of hand, and the pound just
just imagine, you know, when your computer goes wrong and you're trying to do something and it's all frozen and you're panicking and you can't do anything and you're trying to do control on delete
control on delete while you crash the world's economy. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
can you imagine that level of
quant jocks? Don't you love them? Anyway, there you go. Cool. Do you know what? I tell you what. We'll do a quick couple of tweets and then we're going to speak to our first studio guest.
Okay.
Yeah. What do you reckon?
Cool. Lovely. Sounds like a good plan.
Have you got something to...
she says no.
I'll tell you, I've got one. While you're messing about, yeah. I've got the lovely Jo from Petit Canapes. And she says, Vanilla Web, could we have the biggest shout-out, please, for our new Crispus Canapes menu? Book now to avoid boring Christmas. Ah. So you can follow them on Petit Canapes on the Twitter. And we know about her canapes, do we not, Jo?
We do.
Because we scoffed some in this studio, didn't we?
I didn't see
them
perfectly arranged, though, if you remember.
Right.
By the time I got here, you dropped them, remember?
We weren't going to tell anyone about that. I licked the dust off and everything, didn't I? And there was only a little bit of hair
they
on them.
They still tasted lovely. And little Dotty was here. She particularly liked them as well, if you remember.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, and we have Spinnerjet cleaning drives, decking and patios in Kent.
Do you know where they are at the moment?
Are they at your house?
They're at my house doing my drive. Hello, Dan.
Brilliant.
Carry on working. That's Stop cool. tweeting me and carry on with my drive.
That's cool.
Yeah. He's got a week's work to do there.
Ah.
We've also had a tweet from Country Lifestyle Fair, who says, Vanilla Web Business Bunker, we would love a mention as proudly promote over 70 small businesses and startups at our Luxury Gifts Fair. That's a Twitter handle as well, Luxury Gift Fair, Fairs with an S. And that's at Solomon's_venue that it's taking place. So it's the Luxury Christmas Gift Fair on the 11th and 12th of November in Tunbridge Wells, and then the 24th and 25th of November in Uckfield. You can find out all about it by following these guys on the Twitter, and their Twitter handle is Luxury Gift Fairs, all one word.
I realise now, I knew that picture of Dan on your drive. It's on Twitter, isn't it? I'd assumed it was Jules showing pictures of young men on the Twitter, but it was you.
It was me, yeah. And we've had a tweet from the lovely Kim Stevens who says, I would love a shout-out, please. And you've just had a shout-out. That's for Caring Kent. Kim's company, Caring Kent, provide care for people with dementia, Alzheimer's, and other things.
Yes. Is she the lady that I met at Met as Women last week? The one
she
that sent
be.
Through the...
I wasn't there because I wasn't invited. Not being of the girl persuasion.
She sent through a gift thingy, so I think that was her, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
And we could say hello to Debonair Tea. I can't remember the lady.
To where?
Debonair Tea Company.
Oh, she's Louise.
Louise. She's coming to our networking in Kent next Thursday, the 20th, in the morning at La Salamande.
Is she?
Yes.
Louise is currently...
Trevor is bringing her from the microwave service company.
Louise is currently with child.
Oh.
Yeah, it could be interesting. Yeah.
What, like imminent?
I think so.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'll bring my towels and hot water then.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Cool.
Lovely.
Do you know what? I think we'll tick to our next guest. What do you reckon?
I think that's a good plan.
Can you see him?
I can. And, well, I'll put my glasses on. Hang on a minute. our next guest, who is also coming to the networking. Just to go on about that.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunker Show Mr. Chris Snow of David Snow Opticians in Hythe. Chris, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
You've been sorting out Joe, we understand.
Who are?
Yes, that's correct.
And it wasn't easy either, was it? We don't want to impute any client confidentialities here, but what a difficult client she is, huh?
It was a pleasure.
Was it? Yeah. He's very diplomatic, isn't it?
Isn't he? Yeah, it just wasn't working quite right. Apparently my old glasses were too strong, weren't they?
That's correct.
So we were trying to do contact lenses, but my eyes were just going all weird because they wouldn't settle down. So I had to get glasses instead, which are very lovely and beautiful.
Right.
And then we're going to go back and try the contact lenses when I've got more well-behaved eyes.
Yeah, that's the plan.
I want to come back and talk about some of those things, but just give us a bit of background to your business, how long you've been in business. And we discussed this off air, and I want to go over it again. Your name's Chris Snow, and your company is called David Snow, and it is just you.
Well, that's correct. In fact, like Rob, our guest earlier, I started about 30 years ago or so, and I thought Chris Snow was just a bit too familiar.
Right.
So Christopher Snow was a bit too long. Mm. And as my second name is David, I thought that sounded more professional. So that was the choice. That's,
and ever and after, what? We've all believed that it was a family business handed down from father to son.
Exactly. Is your dad still part of the business? No, he's a farmer.
In fact, my father was very much involved. He was a consultant eye surgeon in the area.
Oh, was he really?
And he helped me, but it was my business. I set it up.
Okay, cool.
So he was very supportive.
Okay.
And he was called David, wasn't he?
No, he was John.
Oh. Oh, that's
confused you will be. Funnily enough, I've got a long story, which I'm not going to bore you with now, about eye surgeons.
I was going to say, you should tell him your story about your eye.
Is that the one? Yeah. A couple of years ago, I'll just set this up and then I'll tell you off air because it's far too long. A couple of years ago, I went for my regular optician's checkup and they called an ambulance. And sent me to hospital because they said I had two detached retinas.
Heavens.
Yeah. And I'll tell you the rest of the story some other time, but it was hilarious.
Which was mainly that he didn't.
But it turned out that I didn't. Result. But it wasn't their fault. It wasn't their fault, to be fair to them. We'll talk about that some other time. But it wasn't a good experience. I kept squirting stuff in my eyes that hurt like mad. And I had pupils that were 19 foot wide for about a month afterwards. I couldn't even go out at night. It was horrible. Anyway, enough of that. So, David Snow Opticians, based in Hythe. You started 30 years ago.
Yep.
I think most people are familiar. I want to ask you a really basically stupid question, though. I've always said opticians, and then you see this term optometrist about.
Okay. There were two types of opticians. Well, there are two types of opticians. Mm. They used to be called ophthalmic optician and dispensing optician.
Right.
And a few years ago, they changed ophthalmic optician to optometrist to match the Americans. That's the American term.
Okay.
I was first trained as a dispensing optician, and then I, as a mature student, did optometry.
Right.
So I do both, but essentially. A dispensing optician takes the prescription from a refractionist and makes up the glasses. I now do both of those things.
Okay, all right.
Did that make it clear, Paul?
Yes, it does. Yeah, I can see clearly now. Do you see what I did there?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So, optician can be used for both,
right?
But an optometrist signifies that it's a sight testing optician.
Okay, fantastic. No, that makes it very obvious. Thank you for that.
So, what's nowadays the sort of stuff that you're doing? You know, when people come to the opticians now, it must be different than it was 30 years ago. What do you spend most of your time doing?
Well, the sight testing hasn't really changed, but the equipment has, in that we tend to use digital imagery to analyse at leisure the back of the eye. I've got an OCT. That's a very complex piece of equipment, but essentially it gives the a view similar to an MRI scan of the back of the eye, so great detail can be seen. There are new techniques for doing the eye pressure, and a lot of people think that just having the puff or the pressure test, that's a test for glaucoma. But that all that does is it tests the pressure. To test for glaucoma, you really need to do more than that.
Hmm. I was going to say, there is a kind of a lot of mystique about what you're actually looking at when you're looking into someone's eye and what you can and cannot determine. You know, I mean, what's the extent that you can see in a normal eye test?
One is looking on a routine basis for health of the optic nerve to see if there's glaucoma present or not. Mm. You can see diabetes, hypertension, that's high blood pressure, cataract, other diseases, including things like myeloid leukemia. It's possible to spot that. Well, yeah. So there are some things you can pick up.
And detach retinas.
Well, of course, yes.
Or not.
Or not, as the case may be.
I've had a few of those over the years.
Have you?
Yeah.
Well, actual detached retinas or make-believe ones like mine.
No real ones that required urgent referral.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. There's so many things we could talk about, and it's an area of interest because it affects so many people. I mean, so many of us use reading glasses or, you know, glasses for other purposes.
But we all sat in the green room saying we'd all got the same problem, didn't we?
I think we had, yeah. We all kind
we're
of
all
had
short-sighted and then we can't
similar
read
prescriptions.
Close up.
Yeah, absolutely. But one of the things I was saying to Chris, and we said we'd talk about this on air, is I recently had my eyes tested, and again, I need reading glasses. But one of my problems is that I do a lot of work on computers, and my computer I have a big whacking great iMac, and I position that quite a bit further away than I would if I was reading a book, and I get stuck in this dilemma of whether I wear reading glasses to read it or not, and it kind of falls in that pattern where you're not really sure what the best way of doing it is, and I don't normally wear glasses, but then I found myself getting headaches and getting tired and getting eye strain. So I kind of wanted to explore that and where we go with that kind of thing.
Okay, well, obviously the distance that you use a computer is at a different distance to reading. Mm. And what we do when that happens is supply, there are special type varifocal lenses aimed for PC use that are reading and PC only. You wouldn't walk around in them,
right.
But when you're sat down at your computer, you can see the screen and you can see to read at the same time.
And so how does that work, Chris? Is that, you know, like in the old days you used to get bifocal glasses where you had a prescriptive lens in the bottom bit and a bit of clear glass in the top. So if you look over the top of them,
They're very complex.
That was a technical description, by the way.
and a line across the
middle. Yeah.
No, these don't have a line.
Yeah.
But they're variable focus, so you'd see at the computer screen distance and at the reading, and it would gradually change. So you'd just with head adjustments be able to get sharp focus.
And do your eyes get used to it, or is it just as you say that you're moving your head because you move so that you can see properly?
It's a sort of you have to get used to it. It's not the eye getting used to it. It is a question of head position more than anything
right.
else.
It's interesting. I was at a quiz night on Saturday, and the guy that was writing the answers was looking over his glasses, and I was looking under my glasses. So I thought it was really odd that You know, most people, I don't know if it's most people, well,
if someone needs reading glasses, then they'll look over them to see in distance.
But he was looking over them at his paper, so he had his head bent right over, so he could see above his glasses on the paper.
See, I've got a long enough nose that I can push my reading glasses to the end of my nose and look over the top of them.
So that's the usual way, isn't it? So people see. Exactly. So whereas for me, I need my glasses for distance, but not for short. So I will look under my glasses in effect. Okay. But he was doing it the other way around and bending his whole head round to look above his glasses. It was really odd.
You quite often see people that have got two pairs of glasses at the same time as well, which is always a bit of a laugh.
And other people just use them to keep their hair out of their face.
Exactly.
There's also contact lenses you can use. I personally wear contact lenses that I need a prescription for distance as well now. And I use these and I can see drive at night, no problem. I can see the computer screen and I can see to read.
So that begs the question, do you do your own eye test?
Indeed.
So Chris, what can you see? Well, Chris, what I can see is...
I think I can see that bottom line, but I'm not sure.
No, have another go, Chris. That could be hilarious. We need to record... Bird, we need to record Chris doing his own eye test. That could be a laugh.
Well, it's funny because, you know, when you do the red and green... line thing. Just don't do that. I can't remember. Did we do that?
Does he surprise himself going, I wonder what's next?
You know, when you're doing it yourself.
Pull him out of a box and go, what can you see, Chris?
Well, when you're having a test, you quite often think to yourself, have I just given the right answer or am I doing it wrong? And then you overthink it, don't you? And then it becomes ridiculous because that's not what you're supposed to do.
I'm sure he knows what he's doing.
That's what most people think.
And there
are built-in safeguards for
checks
that.
For exactly. Yeah.
Sorry about that, Chris. That was just a bit of frivolous stupidity on our behalf.
We're not known for that.
Of course he does his own test. Why wouldn't you? I'm interested, coming back though, talking about contact lenses and things like that, because again, that's a technology that has improved and grown over the last few years. Where are we now with what's available as contact lenses? What makes contact lenses wearable or not wearable, if you see what I mean?
Well, the parameters of the curves, the size, all those sort of things, they've been well... investigated and researched, a lot of research done. Materials for contact lenses, they are at a very high advanced level. The lenses that I wear, I'm able to sleep in, so I just put them in, and at the end of the month I take them out and replace them. So I it's so easy, it's ridiculous.
Because that's how he
attracted me into this opticians thing. He told me all of that, and then ended up with glasses because my eyes wouldn't play ball.
So, I mean, that's something that's changed quite a lot, because in the early days of contact lenses, you had all this faffing around with putting them in and taking them out every day.
That still might be the case.
Right, okay.
We still do that.
Yeah.
I do that. It's horrible.
Yeah, have you ever put them in after putting them in the cleaning stuff instead of in the saline?
You put them in your
put them in
a water glass and then drink
it. What do you mean in the peroxide solution?
Or something like that. I can't remember. It's a long time ago. I remember sticking something in my eye and it was not nice.
You'd only do that once.
Yes, exactly.
I also wanted to talk to you about some people now talk about laser treatment for eyes. First of all, is that something that you do or is that a kind of specialist thing?
That is very much a specialist thing. Mm. In fact, my father did do that for some while. 10 years ago or so. My wife had it done. It turned out that that was really the best solution for her. One has to be careful, though. I was at a conference over the weekend, and one of the things that came out is that they're almost oversold, the laser clinics. They have a lot of spare capacity, so they make promises that really can't be fulfilled.
Sure.
And people go in with the belief that they're going to see 20/20 immediately. That might not be the case. They may need a retreatment. And the other thing you've got to worry about is when you get to the point where you need reading glasses and you have laser treatment, you can trade one set of glasses for another set of glasses. You know, for example, I don't know is it all right if I say about you, Joe?
Yes.
If you had laser treatment, it would possibly leave you unable to see your iPhone without glasses, and that might be really inconvenient for you. Mm. So there are lots of things you have to ask first.
It might be useful for us, mind. Sorry, Joe. No, that's being serious for a moment. That's really important because, as you say, there's a lot of overselling can go on here where people claim things that aren't entirely, doable for everybody.
Yeah, it's a brilliant technology. It's very clever and it's been around for a long time. Mm. And a lot of people have had a great success with it, but it isn't for everyone. And it's once it's done, it can't be reversed. So you have to be very careful.
Absolutely. I just want to touch base on a couple of things that you mentioned, glaucoma and cataracts, which are some of the things that you find. I mean, in the UK now, one hears about cataracts being a problem in developing countries. And we all know that glaucoma is quite a serious problem. But how as a proportion of the population, is it prevalent? Is it getting worse? Is it getting better? Where are we with that kind of thing?
Well, with regard to glaucoma, it's in the developed world, it's about 3% of the population are affected, and about half of those don't even know it.
Really?
So it's quite important to get a check. You just don't know. And once you've been affected by glaucoma, you can stop the progression, but you can't recover any of the losses.
Right, okay.
So that's bad news. Cataract is a different story. When you get to the point where you can't see, a relatively simple operation can be undertaken to replace the lens, and that can actually give back perfect vision. So right. that's good news. In the developing world, that's done in a different way to how it's done in the Western world. But yeah, it's something that's not such bad news if it can be treated at some point.
Okay.
But glaucoma, that you do need to keep on top of.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool.
And how do you do that? Is that just through going for regular checkups when you get to a certain age type thing, or are there things that you should be aware of?
No, it's really going for regular checkups.
Mm. And what's regular? Once every 10
Once
years?
A week. Once a week. Well, is that how often you went? Once every 10 years?
I obviously didn't go for a long time.
Obviously, we recommend every 2 years, but for most people, it is much longer than that.
Mm. That's another thing little Dodsy loves. She loves the dentist and she loves the opticians, and she's
really
disappointed. Chris told her she can't go unless she's got something wrong with her eyes.
So she's walking around poking herself and you're going, I want to go.
It's not quite as simple as that.
But she does. She's like so desperate to go that we thought we'd have to sort of take her along when one of us went for our test.
So she's looking at glasses as a kind of fashion statement.
No, she doesn't want glasses. She just likes having her eyes tested and she likes going to the dentist. She is a weird child. I'm quite pleased that I've brought her up to not be scared of these things, but I'm not quite sure how that's happened. There we go.
I'm interested. I want to kind of move away from the medical side, although I'm going to come back to that again in a moment, Chris. I want to kind of talk about it, what you do as a business, really, and how that kind of works.
Well, as a business, we do sight testing. Mm. We have a range of frames, both for sport, fashion, and just general use. We do concentrate on digital imaging, because that way not only can you take a recording of a very good eye and then compare it in the future, but also highlight if there's anything about to happen. We do repairs and adjustments. It's general what one would expect from an independent optician's.
Absolutely.
But you have something whizzy. I remember now. You have an iPad or something, and you can do something mobile-like, styly thing. I don't know. We're at a networking meeting, and you whipped out the iPad and impressed us all. What was that?
I mean, that's for measuring for varifocals. Whenever I speak to someone who's I haven't seen before, and they're a bit hesitant about varifocals. It's usually because they've had really they've not been fitted correctly, and we use this very special bit of equipment. It's iPad based, and it allows me to get a very accurate reading of the positioning of the varifocals, and usually that results in greater success. As far as the imaging thing, we have an iMac in the shop, and we use that to photograph people wearing the glasses so that they can then see them before they're made up. And that works very well indeed.
So they've kind of got this III strategy then.
Yeah,
have they?
Yeah. You're so funny.
Interestingly, as I mentioned to you off air again, I recently went for an eye test and I hadn't been for a couple of years. And do you know what?
What?
Owing to my great age, it was free.
How old are you now?
So you're owning up to being over 60 then?
I am indeed.
Flipping heck.
That came as a real surprise. I went to have my eyes tested and they went, oh. I said, how much is it going to cost? And they went, at your age, dear, it's free.
You can probably get new teeth and everything.
I probably can. How brilliant is that? Yeah. Cool.
So does that mean you want to know about who qualifies for a free sight test?
Yeah, go on. Go for it.
Okay. Anyone over 40 with a family member who has glaucoma.
Right.
Anyone with diabetes. And then everyone over 60 years of age gets a free examination every 2 years. Hmm. And over 70, it's every year.
Okay.
And, of course, then there's people on low income, you know, they are included as well.
Cool.
Okay.
Good stuff. Well, it's the first time I've ever got anything.
You got a bus pass as well?
No, don't start. Don't start.
Sure, no, you qualify for one, don't you? Or have you got to be 65?
You've got to be 65 for a bus pass.
All right, let you off then.
It's not long, I have to say. fascinating story. Also, Chris, you were mentioning to me off air again that you've also started to undertake just recently some hospital-based work.
That's correct. Yes, I mentioned earlier about my father. Unfortunately, we lost him last year. I used to talk to him a lot about eyes and eye-related subjects. And I was at a training evening a few months ago, in fact, and the hospital optometrist said that there was a vacancy and come and work with them. And I thought, well, actually, that could fill two holes, really. Mm. I would get extra training and, working with other like-minded professionals, optometrists, ophthalmologists, etc. So it's only just started. I haven't really, it's been a few days really, and it's going to start probably towards the end of the week that I actually see patients.
Oh, fantastic. And what hospitals are you going to be hanging out in?
That will be primarily Kent and Canterbury, mm-hmm. also QEQM in Margate, William Harvey in Ashford, and possibly the other minor places as well.
Okay. I used to know almost everybody involved in eye stuff in Kent a few years ago. Unfortunately, my youngest son got badly injured playing rugby. He had a blowout trapdoor fracture of the eye. We spent a lot of time at a maxillofacial unit in East Grinstead, and also running backwards and forwards to every other hospital. But Kent and Canterbury know us well. We've got a season ticket for there.
Okay, yeah, well, my father was the consultant there from about 1968 to 92, so I very familiar to me as well.
Mm, cool. Chris,
so where's your shop? Because we haven't really talked much about that.
It's in Hythe.
And give us a shout for your website and your Twitter handle and all that kind of stuff so people can find out more about you and come and have their eyes tested and pay you, because none of our listeners are as old as me.
It's www.davidsnow.co.uk, and the Twitter is d_snow_optician.
Fantastic. David, David. See, he's got me going now, hasn't he? I fell for that right at
the
last minute.
Thing,
yeah,
I am used to it by now.
Yeah, yeah. Chris, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for joining us on the Business Funk Show. A really fascinating insight into the work that you do. And do check out Chris's website and find out more and look after your eyes.
And pop in the shop.
Have your eyes tested. Yeah, cool.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. We're going to have our mid-show break, and then when we come back, we've got yet another fantastic guest to talk to. We've got bazillions of tweets and loads of emails and all kinds of stuff. So I've got a bit of tunage for you. She said, yeah.
more can I say?